Go for launch. and rolling, strutting and strolling, ramming and jamming. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Emerson Island Radio 92.1 FM. Yes, it's Casey Ferguson here, once again behind the wheel of the Rockmobile. Adler's Appetite, featuring original Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler, kicking off the show there with a tune called Alive. As I'm recording this open, I'm awaiting the results of the U.S. election. And truthfully, I've never been more fearful of the future than right now. So, I'm going to try to focus on the positive. I've got a great show lined up for you. I'll have my interview with Brian Scott, lead vocalist of the bands The Union Underground, Into the Fire, and Cult to Follow, in addition to some absolutely killer tunes. So buckle your seatbelts, Wildcats. We're going to rock this night like it's our last, because who knows? It might very well be. What we need is revolution, man. This is The Union Underground on The Casey Ferguson Show.
Listening to the Casey Ferguson Show.
Suffocate everything, they complicate everything, they steal your fate every day, but you can't believe it. Take yourself far away from nothingness, million miles from emptiness. Suffocate everything, they complicate everything, they steal your fate every day, but you can't believe it. Take yourself far away from nothingness, million miles from emptiness. Remember the days of the innocence before it came in waves. Remember the trust, it was blown away. every day, but you can't believe it. Take yourself far away from nothingness, a million miles from emptiness. Suffocate everything and complicate everything. They steal your faith every day, but you can't believe it. Take yourself far away from nothingness, a million miles from emptiness.
Killer Dwarfs, and you're listening to the KC Ferguson Show. Rock and roll, man.
I like it. Maybe bring the cocaine, Novocaine, covered in the bloodstream. I don't think I mind it. Hey girl, I'm a t-shirt slogan. Hey girl, I'm a boy in the lies. Your fascination with medication, you feel your own demise. When you go crazy,
too cold to hold. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Emerson Island Radio 92.1 FM. That was Into the Fire, Spit You Out. Before that, Cult to Follow in there with Leave It All Behind, and kicking off that set was the Union Underground with Revolution Man. Underground sounds like a good place to be right now, as minutes ago I found out that Donald Trump has been elected President of the United States of America. I find myself still waiting for the punchline. I know I'm usually full of jokes and wisecracks, but right now, I'm in shock. I can't believe it. I can't believe it has come to this. I can't believe in this day and age, with all the information out there and all of the people out there, Donald Trump is going to be president. My dear listeners, I'm genuinely worried. The global consequences of this can't be overstated. I'd love to crack some jokes, but at the moment, I'm a little preoccupied thinking about the lives that are going to be affected and ruined by such a president. I'm thinking about the people that are going to lose their jobs, the people that are going to lose their homes, the people that are going to lose their lives or the lives of loved ones as a result of this idiot. So pardon me if I'm not cracking jokes, and if there's anyone out there who thinks I should just shut up and play music, you know where the door is. If you want someone who doesn't have the guts to speak their mind, you can find plenty of them on the radio dial, so feel free to change the station because I'm not one of them. I will have plenty to say on the subject, but right now it's time to introduce my guest on this episode of The Casey Ferguson Show. Brian Scott is the lead vocalist of Into the Fire, Cult to Follow, and the Union Underground. We'll discuss what it was like to be on tour with Black Sabbath, eat lunch beside Ozzy, the new Into the Fire EP, how the Union Underground came to perform the WWE Raw theme song, and more. This is my conversation with Brian Scott on The Casey Ferguson Show. All right, this is Casey Ferguson from The Casey Ferguson Show. You are listening to Amherst Island Radio, 92.1 FM. I've got Brian Scott on the phone. How you doing today, Brian?
I'm good, Casey. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, anytime, man. You must not be getting a whole lot of sleep these days.
Yeah, it's been a bit hectic, man. But, you know, without chaos, there's nothing. We make it work. It's, you know, everyone's committed to it, and this Into the Fire thing's been really exciting for us. So, you know, we all make time for it.
Just to get this out of the way, dear listeners, Brian has said recently that there will be music out from all three bands this year. The Into the Fire EP is out, and the rest is coming. So if you're tuning in to find out when the new music is coming out, consider that covered. Now, I'm not going to waste any of Brian's time asking the same old questions. Any updates, Brian, or can we move on?
I can't, you know, as far as new Union material, it'll be you know, early 2017, and there's some touring plans in the works for that as well. As far as official dates, I don't have that on Union yet. You know, it's all kind of in the laboratory mode still. There's a new Cult Fall single that'll be available in a couple of weeks. And some shows in the works for Cult as well next year. So it's going to be a busy year, you know, show-wise and releases and, you know, and of course, you know, I'll keep everyone updated online, you know, when there's official dates.
Absolutely. Well, I just feel like, you know, everybody is bothering you about this stuff all the time. When are we getting new music? When are we getting new music? So we got it out of the way. It's covered. We can move on. Got lots of other stuff to talk about. You know, there's so much going on with you. And, you know, Brian, you strike me as a pretty laid back, you know, quiet guy. It would seem that you sort of save your wild side for on stage or in the studio when you can channel it. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely pretty laid back, you know, but I, my missus might describe me as bipolar. So, yeah, there's definitely, I definitely turn it on and off, you know, when required, I guess, you know. In my personal life, I'm pretty laid back, but in the studio working on music, you know, that's where you let your monsters out. There's definitely two sides to everybody, I think, you know, and music definitely allows me to let those demons rear their head.
Did you ever find yourself battling that duality? I mean, I know a lot of singers feel that they have to be that person all the time. They're always performing for someone. And I realize that you sort of rallied against that a little bit, turned me on Mr. Deadman and stuff like that. But, you know, was there a point in your career where you kind of got caught up in things and, you know, had a hard time just being you?
You know, maybe somewhat. You know, of course, when you're on the road and kind of dealing with all that chaos, you know, reality starts to get a bit blurry. But, you know, as soon as you're home, you get grounded again. It's always a dance, man, to just keep it together. Your real side and who you are, like when you're writing. Like I said, you know, when you write, you obviously bring out a different side of yourself that you wouldn't allow in normal social settings, you know.
Well, it's rock and roll after all.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, you let those things out in your music. And so it's a little hard to keep that balance, you know.
Well, hence the bipolar bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I might have been exaggerating a bit there, but, you know, like I said, the missus might disagree.
Now, you've got a new video out for the Into the Fire track, Spit You Out. I know that you said recently in an interview that, you know, you wanted to go for a mid-90s STP, Nine Inch Nails kind of video. What was it about those videos that you enjoyed so much?
You know, the imagery Perry is just, I just found, it was kind of new at the time, and I love, and I'm glad you said Nine Inch Nails too, because, you know, I'm a huge Trent Reznor fan, and I've always been a big fan of, like, David Fincher films, and it's just, all that imagery has just really always influenced me, and I just, for this track, I wanted that kind of vibe, and just that kind of throwback feel a bit, you know, because I don't see that at all. It's like, it looks very different than, you know, anything you're seeing right now. So I didn't want that big, clean HD thing, and I wanted it to have that 90s feel to it, for sure. And Eric Richter, who directed it, I thought did an amazing job of capturing that vibe.
It's funny that I was just having that conversation the other night with a friend, and that, you know, I really liked the look of some of those mid to late 90s videos. There was definitely, and I think part of what I like about it is the use of color. You know, there were certain colors that they were using, and it was almost like Tim Burton-esque at certain points. And as you mentioned, like David Fincher, like, you know, either it was like that really dark vibe, or there was like, you know, really bright pastel colors and stuff. But I just thought some of those videos just looked really incredible.
Yeah, it's funny you say that about the color thing. Like, Eric and I discussed that specifically, to have just big primary colors, red, blues, whites, obviously a lot of just dark black stuff. I just love the outcome. You know, rarely when you work on something, like, your exact vision comes across, you know, so it's exciting when it happens.
Absolutely. Now, I know you're a big Crew fan, so here's always a big point of contention among fans of the band, the Corabi record. You know, some love it, some refuse to accept it as a Motley record. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I can see why true Crew heads refuse to accept it, because, you know, it really wasn't a traditional Crew record. But, you know, for me personally, that record is phenomenal. Like, I love that record.
Well, same here, man.
Honestly, I love the songs. And, you know, I know John Corabi, and he's an amazing singer. The record's just stellar, you know. But I completely understand why, you know, Crew heads wouldn't agree with that. Everyone has their opinion. It's cool. Truly, when I first heard that record, I thought it could have been released under a different name.
Yeah.
You know, and it would have been great that way as well. But of course, you know, I mean, obviously they want to use their legacy, but it could have been released under a different name and been just as great. I mean, you know, I think everyone would have connected to it, maybe even more, you know.
Well, I think the problem there, like, John was on this show and, you know, just a great fellow, you know, great guy to talk to. And, you know, we talked a lot about that record, of course. And, you know, he said part of the problem there was, you know, Motley had just signed, you know, a huge record contract with Elektra, I guess it would have been. And the label wasn't going to let them put it out under, you know, some other name. And, I mean, even just getting rid of Vince at that point was like, you know, I'm sure the label was going like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure internally there was a lot of madness there, you know. But it's a great record in history to have. I mean, you can put that thing on now and just, I love it.
Certainly, you know, John and I talked about the fact that, you know, it's really, you know, a Motley record that has lived on and has aged very well, you know. I love the Crew, but some of it, it's like, oh, geez, Tommy, I wish you would have used a different drum sound on that record or whatever, you know. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I've always been a huge Bob Rock fan, and, you know, when I heard that record, I was like, yep, there it is. There's Bob Rock drums right there, man.
Yeah, he always managed to capture the bombast, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, did it blow your mind to be touring with Black Sabbath back on Ozfest?
That was cool, man. I mean, you know, I hadn't met Ozzy prior to that, and so it was, like, no matter who you meet, I'm lucky to have met, you know, a lot of my heroes, you know, and he was one of them that hadn't been checked off the list, you know, and it was surreal. Ozzy Osbourne, I mean, what else can you say, you know, it was great. Just like sitting next to him at catering, you know, for lunch, it's ridiculous. Like, wow, this is huge.
Yeah, it's got to be a little strange. You're sitting there eating a sandwich and just, there's Ozzy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, no, it was great, man. I mean, that was a great tour for us, and, you know, a lot of great experiences.
Well, I heard that Sharon Osbourne said Crazy Town caught a lot of grief for being on that tour. Do you remember the backlash from the bands or, you know, the audience pertaining to them?
I do remember that, and I felt sorry for those guys, because I just thought it was just bad booking. I mean, they shouldn't have been on that tour. It was just the wrong audience for them, I thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely got smacked a bit, you know. But I became friends with a couple of those guys, and it's super nice guys. We actually took those guys off on some one-offs the union did during breaks of Ozfest shows, and we had a great time with it. You know, I just thought it was the wrong billing for the, you know, there was definitely some booing going on, unfortunately, you know, and it was the wrong place for them.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, you know, people got to realize, though, you know, it's not like they didn't book themselves. Like, you know, they got put on that tour, and I mean, it was a high-profile slot, and I don't know. I feel like sometimes the audience has to cut them a break, because it's like, man, you know, these guys aren't booking the shows, you know what I mean? They're not booking themselves at this point, and there's, you know, Sharon obviously wanted them there, or they wouldn't have been on the tour.
Yeah, and it's hard to turn down. I mean, obviously, that, you know, at the time, especially, Ozfest had huge exposure for everybody. So to turn it down, even if you think, well, man, you know, that's kind of more of a metal crowd, maybe not a thing, but, you know, you always, even if you're on, if you feel you're on the wrong gig, you always hope that out of 30,000 people, 10,000 people liked you that day, and that's the whole point of it, you know.
Certainly still sold some records, so, you know, they were moving some product, and, you know, as much as there might have been a bunch of people that didn't dig them, like you're saying, I think, you know, just a sheer numbers game, they're going to have people that came away going, wow, I never heard of these guys before, but I'm going to pick up the record.
Sure. Yeah, you just got to push through, you know.
Well, yeah, there's always that thought, you know, maybe we can turn it around, we can get out there and win them over, and, you know, I'm sure they did a bit of that at times, but speaking of high exposure, the Union Underground performed Raw's theme song for a number of years, you know, pretty high profile placement. Did that come about through Columbia, seeing as they put out Forcible Entry, and how did you like working with Jim Johnston?
Yeah, those guys put that together. They hooked us up with WWF at the time, and that was a great camp to work with. I mean, Jim Johnston, like, we didn't really have much conversations, like, hey, here's the thing that we want to work with, and, you know, so he sent me kind of a, like, a bass track, and then I just kind of built a song around it. Yeah, to be honest, I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I understood how huge that market is, and, like, people love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's a cool way to spread the band, and so I just kind of built a song around this bass line, and then, you know, working with those guys, beyond that, we did one of those live events, and talk about the most organized, professional crew that I've ever dealt with. I mean, that organization was just amazing, you know?
Absolutely. Well, the creative process for Into the Fire has been pretty different, a much quicker pace for you, I suppose, hey?
It's nice, because I don't have, with this project, like, I don't have to wear a million hats, like, with my other projects, you know? It's nice. These guys send me great riffs. I could turn them into songs, and, you know, I'm not kind of building everything from scratch myself. So that's been a nice collaboration. It's made it fun for me, which, you know, we would hope that some things would be fun in business. Because it isn't always fun. It's like it's just constant work, and, you know. But this has actually been really fun because, you know, I have some guys to collaborate with, and it's made it smooth, man. I'm enjoying it.
So what are the touring plans going forward for this thing?
You know, we definitely have some stuff in the works for 2017 summertime. You know, nothing I can actually reveal yet, but it's kind of all in the works. And, you know, obviously the EP is just kind of scratching the surface with this project. And so, you know, we have several songs that we're going to release prior to that, of course. So, you know, there's a lot of new music to come this year, and some touring as well.
Fantastic, Brian. Well, I mean, before we part ways, I want to commend you, because in doing my research before this interview, I came across another chat you had recently, and you said that you disbanded the Union Underground because you didn't like the direction the music was headed, and, you know, you don't do this for the money or contracts. Basically, it has to feel right, and, you know, not only have you talked the talk, but you've walked the walk and proved that, man. So for me as an interviewer, a musician, and just a lover of music, that's really refreshing. So good on you, man.
Oh, well, thanks, Casey. I appreciate that.
Excellent!
People are reaching that age now where there's, and I'm not calling you a nostalgic, but people are starting to get nostalgic for that music.
You know, it's funny you say that. I absolutely feel that too. Just, I see it online all the time. And, you know, when I launched a short clip of a demo track from the song that will be on the Union record next year. And, you know, it just got a great response. And, you know, I wasn't expecting much response as it had. And what's funny too is when you look up Union stuff, on YouTube or wherever, you would expect to think, like, oh, all these comments, you know, you read the comments and they're all super positive, and they, you know, there's a huge fan base with that. And you would think that when you look at the timeline that it's like, oh, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years, whatever, it's all from like last week, you know? So there's, I mean, it's 2 weeks ago, month ago, one day ago. So you're like, you know, there's a lot of new, everything comes in cycles, man. And there's a lot of new people experiencing that band and that record for the first time. What's nice about the access that we have now with everything being so exposed on the internet is that there's no such thing, and I truly believe this, like there's no such thing as an old song. Like literally today, there's, let's say, 17,000 people experiencing Turn Me On for the Dead Man for the first time. Because it's worldwide. It's not United States or wherever the markets were big for that project in the beginning. It's worldwide. So there's people all over the planet, like, experiencing all of that for the first time. They don't give a shit when the date was. The date means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
To them, the day, it's the very first time they're hearing it. And that's a new song to them. There's no such thing as an old song. That's what's great about accessibility these days, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's certainly, you know, a different market as compared to, you know, when the song came out. I mean, a lot of that stuff was just, you know, on the cusp.
Sure.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Brian. You know, I love the EP and certainly shoot the breeze again down the road.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it.
Part talk show, part rock show. You are listening to The Casey Ferguson Show on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. That was my conversation with Brian Scott, lead vocalist of Into the Fire, Cult to Follow, and The Union Underground. Keep an eye on the band's respective Facebook pages for album updates, news, and tour dates. While that interview was playing, I compiled a short list of people and things that I think would make a better president than Donald Trump. They are as follows. Charlie Sheen, George Jones, Mr. T, Bernie Sanders toenail clippings, a piece of burnt toast, an inanimate carbon rod, an ice cream cone on a hot day, cat dander, a lawn gnome, Jesse Ventura's last bowel movement, Cato Kalin, smegma, belly button lint, a dirty old oar, a colostomy bag, a used band-aid, bat droppings, rat droppings, turds of any kind, Abe Lincoln's corpse, a paperweight, a roll of toilet paper, a dead minnow, an expired package of soy sauce, a can of cut wax beans, a bag of worms, my left buttock, my right buttock, a pool noodle, molasses in January, a flat tire, Darth Vader, carrot top, carrot juice, apple juice, beetle juice, tang, frothy urine, a bullweevil, a gnat, a full diaper, a coat hanger, a Nerf ball, mothballs, Mr. Ed, a cardboard cutout of the gingerbread man, Uncle Fester, Kit from Knight Rider, an empty peanut shell, and JFK's Wikipedia page. Of course, that's just the short list. I will have more people and things that I think would make a better president than Donald Trump later on in the show. I will tell you this, my friends, if we can get through this, we can get through anything. This is Art of Dying on The Casey Ferguson Show.
I seen better days, yeah. It's so sad that I'm here. It's hard to find identity when you're the king of men. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. If I can make it through this, today to let go. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. If I can make it through this, I can get through anything. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. If I can make it through this, I promise you. Your soul slack. You come when I'm leaving, I might never be back. I know it's not easy, it's a matter of fact. If I can get through this, I can get through that. If you cut me wide open, I can cut you some slack. You come when I'm leaving, I might never be back. I know it's not easy, it's a matter of fact, yeah. Yeah.
Jake Warden from Orgy, listening to the Casey Ferguson Show.
Let's go!
And bringing the thunder, you are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show. Your late night hour of power on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. That was Hinder, All American Nightmare. Before that, from the album Black Rain, was Ozzy Osbourne, Countdown's Begun. And at the top of the set was Get Through This by Art of Dying. As promised, I jotted down a few more people and things off the top of my head that I think would make a better president than Donald Trump. Here goes. Ron Jeremy, Harry from Harry and the Hendersons, Dennis Rodman, Mock Chicken Loaf, Frosty the Snowman, Aaron Spelling's Anus, Toe Jam, William Hung, a Merkin, a Kick in the Ass with a Frozen Boot, Wind Chimes, a Can of Spam, a Tin Whistle, the Howl 9000, Earwax, Screech from Saved by the Bell, Gary Busey's Teeth, a Jell-O Mold, a Tamagotchi, Chewbacca, a Doorstopper, Iggy from Under the Umbrella Tree, a Kazoo, Spray Foam Insulation, MS-DOS, a Jar of Play-Doh, a Hemorrhoid Pillow, Tom Selleck's Mustache, the Last Can of Hoo-Hash, a Spork, a Spoodle, a Snug, a Donald Trump bobblehead, and a partridge in a pear tree. Feel free to send in your own ideas as to people or things that you think would make a better president than Donald Trump. You can send them to me via the Casey Ferguson Show Facebook page at facebook.com/TheCaseyFergusonShow. I'd like to take this time to thank the Casey Ferguson Show's official sponsor here on Amherst Island Radio, Overtime Sports Bar, located at 1677 Bath Road in Kingston. Lots of great shows coming up at Overtime, so be sure to like and check their Facebook page often to stay up to date on all the goings-on. I know that Rock the Box Entertainment is presenting a Pearl Jam tribute at Overtime on Friday, November 18th, called Sons of Pearl, so if you dig Pearl Jam and will be in the Kingston area on November 18th, be sure to check that out. Also, a quick reminder to bands, Overtime has the best stage and lights in Kingston, and they book up fast, so if you want to book a show in the Kingston area, no time like the present. Give Rob a call at 613-634-7776. Let's get back to the music. This is Fox with their rendition of Midnight Oil's Beds Are Burning on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM.
Fast. Whatever. I went down to the beach and saw Kiki. She was all like, and I'm like, whatever. Then this chick comes up to me and she's all like, hey, aren't you that dude? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. So later, I'm at the pool hall and this girl comes up and she's all like, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Cause this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever. And then it's 3 a.m. I'm on the corner wearing my leather. This dude comes up and he's like, hey, punk. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then I'm throwing dice in the alley. Officer Leroy comes up and he's like, hey, I thought I told you. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then up comes Zappo. I'm like, yo, Zappo, what's up? He's like, done. I'm like, that's cool. Cause this is my United States or whatever. And this is my United States or whatever.
Making your knees freeze and your liver quiver, you are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Emerst Island Radio 92.1 FM. That was Liam Lynch, United States of Whatever, and before that was Fox with their rendition of the Midnight Oil classic, Beds Are Burning. It's bedtime for me, kiddies. I'm still fighting off a hellacious death flu, so I'm hoping to lapse into a moderate coma and wake up to a Trump-free White House. Maybe I'll get lucky and this was all just a hallucination brought on by an overdose of cough syrup. That'd be nice. I'd like to thank my guest, Brian Scott, lead vocalist of the bands Into the Fire, Cult to Follow, and the Union Underground. Thank you once again to my sponsor, Overtime Sports Bar, and thank you for listening. Bruce Springsteen is going to play us out with a live acoustic rendition of Born in the USA. Not only was the irony of this song lost on Ronald Reagan, Bob Dole, and Pat Buchanan, I'll bet it will be lost on Trump, too. But hey, keep on rocking in the free world. Remember, it's only an island if you look at it from the water. Until next time, this is Casey Ferguson, over and out.
Born down in a dead man's town, the first kick I took was when I hit the ground. Head up like a dog, that's been beat too much. Do you spend half your life just to cover it up? I was born in the USA, baby. I was born in the USA. I was born in the USA, baby. I was born in the USA. penitentiary, out by the gas fires of the refinery. I'm 10 years